At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit.
What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
Yes, it is. Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village. And what a great night of live radio we have tonight with guests and all the information you're going to need. U.S. men's national team in action tonight. Got a lot of great guests. I'm going to give you the rundown in a minute. Big thanks to Andrew Mitchum, the Senate Avenue staff, for having Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5 on site here. We always enjoy doing the live events. So if you're out and about on the town, you're on your way home from work, Senate Avenue Brewing is right off of 290. So jump off of 290 at the Senate Avenue exit and come on in and join us here tonight as we're not only watching the U.S. men's national team game, we're doing live radio. And we got some great guests coming in here tonight. One of the top goalkeepers in the women's game in the world. She plays for the Houston Dash. Her name is Jane Campbell. Jane Campbell will be in here tonight. In fact, I think I just saw her walk in the front door. So she will be on the show here in segment two and three. We're looking forward to having Jane on. Ben Williams is the head coach of the University of Houston women's team. He will be on the program here tonight. By the way, they knocked off Texas 4-1 in one of their opening games. So a lot to get into here tonight. Federico DeMichelis, who's a correspondent with the show, he will join us tonight as well, along with Victor Ariza, who writes for CONCACAF and for Deportes Houston. So we got a great lineup. Looking forward to talking to Jane about her upbringing in the game, when the World Cup became evident to her, the great run that the Dash are on right now. And we'll talk about that great save, timely save at 0-0 in the very beginning of the Dash victory in San Diego, which ended up a 3-0 victory and a nice conclusive game out there this weekend. Enjoyed watching that one. Streaming at ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. By the way, you come in with a jersey on, you come in with a U of H T-shirt, I think even with a hat they might even give you a pass. You get a free craft beer, and let me tell you, the beer is fresh. It's clean. It's award-winning. It's Andrew Mitchum style, who is the owner and the purveyor of Senate Avenue Brewing. So, lots of important World Cup qualifiers took place today. U.S.-Mexico friendlies tonight. Lineup for the U.S. is out. I'm going to give it to you right now. And it's interesting because Mauricio Pochettino made it very clear it'll still be an experimental lineup. It'll be a lineup that'll have a number of guys that are going to get real opportunities. So tonight he goes to a three-back system. Goalkeepers Matt Friis, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, and Tristan Blackman. Now, if you're going to a three-back system, that usually means maybe you're not happy with two, so you add a third, which makes a lot of sense if at a World Cup you're going to have out wide Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest on the flanks. So it's something to consider here tonight. Max Arfston on the left, Freeman on the right, Christian Roldan. He will get a start with Tyler Adams in midfield, Pulisic, Zendejas, and then Fowler and Balogun up front. And I really want Balogun to make some things happen because I think his pace and athleticism for a U.S. team that struggles maybe a little bit in the chance creation category and scoring goals, to have somebody with pace that could just maybe just run on to the end of a long clearance could be something of importance. If you're a U.S. soccer fan, how panicked are you right now? I'm not. I'm remaining calm. I know the pundits got to get wild and, you know, got to get the hits and the looks and the likes and got to get a little bit outrageous. All that matters to me are the results in the World Cup. I get that not winning right now is not great for optimism in a year where you're hosting it, along with Canada and Mexico. But, I'm not in the panic category. I'm hoping the U.S. has a good game tonight against Japan, and I like this roster that he's putting out here. And by the way, if now all of a sudden you don't like Mauricio Pochettino, well, then you ought to give the people that hired him a call, and that's Matt Crocker and that's Cindy Parlow Cohn at U.S. Soccer. Okay, don't forget that. And a lot of people love the fact that he was hired because, oh, now we got a coach that took a team to a Champions League final. Yeah, and remember, it's his first go-around as a national team coach, the Argentine Mauricio Pochettino. All right, let's quickly hit a few results from today because there's amazing stuff going on worldwide when it comes to World Cup qualifying. Scenes in Africa, scenes down in El Salvador last night. So I don't know if anybody tuned into the CONCACAF World Cup qualifier between El Salvador and Suriname. So Suriname is trying to qualify for a World Cup also. By the way, they have a lot of players that are of Dutch descent because it's a Dutch island in the Caribbean. And they may not be able to make the Netherlands national team because of the quality of those players. So they're trying to get to a World Cup representing Suriname. And they have a lot of athleticism. So the first thing that happened, it's the legendary Cuscatlan Stadium, which in El Salvador, I've called a bunch of games there. Some with 50,000 people in a stadium that was falling apart. And I have a good story to tell here real quick. But the first thing you noticed last night is that El Salvador shrank the field as much as they possibly could, dimension-wise, to try and contain the athleticism of Suriname. So the minute the game turned on, I'm like, oh, my, you know, they've lined the field in a way that it's going to be compact and they can stay closer to these very athletic players. So I was down there calling an El Salvador-Mexico game. There was 55,000 people. I was calling it by myself for Fox. This is many, many years ago. This might have been in 2003. Stadium is falling apart. It's mostly cement. There's no amenities. This is what a real soccer stadium around the world in most countries looks and feels. So I get to the stadium and I have two technically bodyguards with machine guns escorting me into the game, and it's building up, and I have on, I don't have on a blue or a white shirt, which is El Salvador's colors, and we have to walk through the crowd to get up to this little wooden box, which is called the TV booth. Nothing like anything I've used at Jerry Jones's Palace or these kind of areas in the United States to call games from. So we close a little wooden door. But before we get up there, these two guys look at me and go, no, we can't. I said, what are you talking about? We can't walk up there. He goes, we have to walk through this section they call Vietnam in the stands. And since you don't have the right colors on, they're going to throw stuff at you. Water, drinks, beer, whatever else. And I said, okay, so what should we do? So basically I bought an El Salvador T-shirt with the right color, and we get up to the booth. They're calling the game, and it's a big deal because El Salvador wants to beat Mexico. It's the final of the Central American and Caribbean Games, 55,000 people. Parts of the stadium you see falling apart. And it's halftime, and I want to use the restroom. And I said to these guys, can I use the restroom? Because it was right across. But there's such a wave of people, there's no way I'm going to get through. So these guys walk out, hold their guns up in the air, and everybody stops. And I walk, I scurry across the hall, and I get in the restroom. And as I get in there, I hear all this giggling, little kids giggling. And essentially, there's a broken pipe shooting water all over this restroom, just broken, jagged pipe. It's like being a kid and jumping in a sprinkler when you're a little kid and playing outside in the heat. And there's three little guys in there. These guys must be 5, 6, or 7. They're in their underwear. Their clothes is against the wall. And they're jumping around in this water, having the time of their lives. And I'm saying, yeah, it's a little different than the United States. And I wonder where their parents are. So it's an amazing situation. Now, at that time, unlike now, because El Salvador's calmed down crime-wise and everything else with the new president, back then it was very technically a dangerous place. We weren't allowed to leave the hotel. I left with a player from El Salvador that I had played against for a meal, and I got in a lot of trouble by Fox and told I would be sent home if I did that again, so I didn't do it again. And that's kind of the story. I told this the other day over at River Oaks Country Club to a breakfast club group called Costero with Mark, who heads up the Brighton supporters group. But, you know, these were amazing times for me. And, of course, we didn't have iPhones back then, so you couldn't document this stuff. But, you know, it really allows you the opportunity to know how fortunate you are to have kind of what you have and to live in the U.S. Because it is definitely very different. Okay, 6:30 Central Time is when the U.S. takes on Japan. 8 o'clock, it'll be Mexico-Korea. We're looking forward to seeing the U.S. lineup tonight. It is experimental. It is giving people opportunity, but I like it. And Alexian Zendejas from Club America in this starting lineup as well. As mentioned, second and third segment, Houston Dash goalkeeper Jane Campbell. Got a lot to ask Jane. We're gonna hit her with some of the toughest questioning she's ever had in her life. That's a joke. And we're at Senate Avenue Brewing. Amazing craft beer, food. Like I said, if you're on 290, come on in now. If you have a soccer jersey on, you get a free beer. If you have U of H gear on, you get a free beer too, and it's all incredibly fresh beer. I think Oktoberfest is available now, right? Yeah, Andrew Mitchum is letting us know that Oktoberfest is available. Andrew, can you come up here real quick? Let's get the boss on here for a few minutes to talk about what's going on here. By the way, South Africa 1-1 with Nigeria, England 5-0 over Serbia, Norway 11-1 over Moldova, 5 goals for Erling Haaland. So guess who wants to go to a World Cup? I think Erling Haaland wants to. Cyprus and Romania, 2-2, not good for Romania. France, 2-1 over Iceland. A bad penalty given to France. Player dragged his leg, held it there to make contact. Portugal, 3-2 over Hungary. That was 2-2 at one point. Joao Cancelo with the game winner there. Portugal's top of Group F. Mentioned England, 5 different goal scorers, 5-0 over Serbia. Big shock was Armenia, 2-1 over Republic of Ireland, Armenia. Armenia was ranked 150 in the world to 60 for Republic of Ireland. Scotland, 2-0 over Belarus. Sweden lose to Kosovo. And as I mentioned, Nigeria, the Super Eagles. We got a lot of them and a lot of Super Eagles fans in Houston. Victor Osimhen did not play. 1-1 South Africa, Nigeria, and Congo goes down to Senegal. All right, we good to go here? I can hear you slightly. We're going to give you a headset, Andrew Mitchum. All right, Andrew. Well, you are a huge soccer fan. Just tell us about some of the specials we got going on out here tonight. Obviously, the patio's lit up beautifully tonight with the weather being as good as it is.
Weather.
So fire away.
I don't think we talk about our patio enough here. I think we have the best patio on the northwest side. I think, you know, it's picnic tables. It's a German beer hall style patio where you can share, you know, if you're just four people but you have another two people show up, you can make friends. So it's a great patio.
Kids?
Kid friendly. Dog friendly. Bring your furry friends up here.
I'm going to bring my dog next time, but I have
Please
to tie
do.
It up near this window so I can keep an eye
That's
on
fine.
it.
That's fine. We can find a babysitter, dog sitter for you, Glenn. No problem. Yeah. No, it's a fun time, you know, especially with the weather getting nicer over the next couple of weeks fall. I'm air quoting right now, fall coming for the area. I think it should be really nice to come out. Our our anniversary is we'll turn five years old, September 20th. We're doing our fifth-year anniversary here. And then our Oktoberfest is October 4th.
I want to be at the five-year anniversary.
Bet. It's a fun time. We'll have special glassware, live music. It'll be a really good time. So surviving 5 years. We opened during COVID. I don't know if you know that. We opened September 2020. That was a really tough time. But, you know, having everybody support us, we just love to give back. So.
By the way, we're talking about Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. I got my friend Stu here, who's got a great show on KPFT. Yes, he's got a music show. You got to check that out. We got Adam over here, who's a good friend. See, he got his head popped up. He's over here with the Dynamo. We got Jane Campbell sitting here ready to come on. We're really appreciative she came out. This time of the year, some of your beer selections, because it is award-winning beer.
It is award-winning beer. We've won several medals over the last few years. I think the most notable beer right now is our Oktoberfest. It's actually an Imperial Marzen named after my great-great-grandfather, Charles Heisch, who was a Bavarian Jaeger, which is a soldier in the Imperial Bavarian Army. He migrated to America in the late 1800s. But since he was in the Bavarian Army, we named it after the Imperial Jaegers in the Bavarian Army. Anyways, but the beer itself, very flavorful, very malty. Hasn't won a medal yet. It will.
Yet.
I feel it.
Yet.
I feel it coming. But it's sort of our notable beer of the season. It's Oktoberfest. It's Oktoberfest time.
Get out here. Senate Avenue Brewing. We're up on a hard break. As always, Mr. Mayor, Andrew Mitchum, the head man of Senate Avenue Brewing. And by the way, he's a big supporter of soccer by helping get us on the airwaves. So, Andrew, we thank you for that very much. And I'm sure my listeners do as well.
Thank you very much, guys. Going out.
Almost lost my voice there. I was going to have to let Andrew take it. Take a break here. Segment number one in the books here. U.S. Warming up to get set. We're playing. We are going to switch the conversation to the Houston Dash of the NWSL. We got one of the top goalkeepers in the world here who's going to join me right now. She's Jane Campbell coming up next. As we go to break, quick reminder here, Nico's Greek and American Cafe for the best in Greek food. Three locations, the original in Montrose, exceptional place to go. They got the gyros. By the way, at our listener appreciation party, Nico's was there with chicken kebabs and gyros. They have the location in the Woodlands, Nico's, and also out I-10 and the Beltway. And, I mean, they got great baked goods as well. I mean, you name it, they have it. Lamb shanks, great coffees, pastries. It is Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Take a break. Jane Campbell up next, Houston Dash.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Senate Avenue Brewing. I love it when guys are coming in and putting on their jerseys so they can get that free ice cold craft beer. Good move. And I like the jersey, the Dempsey jersey. So we got a Clint Dempsey jersey. I saw a Japan jersey in here before as well, but I love it. Like right in public, that's, you know what, that's a gamer right there. You'd play in my midfield, my friend. All right, welcome back, Senate Avenue Brewing, and we appreciate everybody. LamontBrands.com for Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about the Houston Dash right now. Six in a row without a defeat. Seven games to go, 21 points available in the NWSL. They're only 3 points out of a playoff spot behind behind Louisville right now in ninth place. You got to be top eight in the NWSL, and they come off a huge, huge win in San Diego. A 3-0 victory, getting goals from Clarissa Larisi, Yasmin Ryan, and Messiah Bright, pair of former TCU players. But we welcome in the outstanding goalkeeper, has been an incredible servant to the Houston Dash. She's Jane Campbell. She joins us now. Jane, thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. Honored to be here.
Yeah, and you know what? You and me have history. You've been into the studio before in the past, so it's about time we got you back on, and we look forward to having you on even more in the future. Well, let's first talk about a little bit of the turnaround with the Dash. I mean, it's six undefeated now. I mean, you go out there and you really spoiled the day out there in San Diego with a 3-0 victory over the San Diego Wave.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into the summer break, we kind of dug ourselves a hole. And, you know, summer fortunately was a time for the whole league to have a second preseason. And coming out of the summer break, I think everyone's mentality was like, okay, we have to get out of the hole somehow, but we can't do it all at once. So let's just take it one game at a time. And here we are, six unbeaten. So another game this weekend in Utah, and that'll be a tough game just to get 3 points away. So hopefully we can do that and keep this train going.
Fabrice Cottrell is the head coach. First time as a head coach, coming from an assistant. It seems like things are coming together, and as I watch your games, it seems like there's just a little bit more confidence each and every game.
Yeah, I think he came in, you know, with loads of confidence himself, which is great as a new coach. And I'm sure he had so many emotions as a first-time head coach, nerves and all that. But I think everybody in the beginning wanted it to just happen overnight. And unfortunately, it didn't. But I don't think that should have been our expectation. I think all of us were really, really excited. But I think we just all knew as time was passing we were going to have some growing pains. And I think that's totally normal for any organization that has this turnover. And, you know, it's not just him as a new person on staff. It was a lot of staff that were new, a lot of roster players that were new. And it was just going to take time for us to gel. And so, you know, the first half of the season wasn't necessarily the prettiest. But I think, again, in the summer, it was so crucial for us to have those 3 weeks with no games where we could just really dig in and just keep learning more about each other. I think Fabrice was, you know, very adaptable to this league. It's not an easy league at all to be a head coach in. And I think he, I'm sure, had some growing pains. And we all kind of had to work together. You know, the biggest message we told him coming in was, we're not going to work against you. You know, this is all of our ship going in one direction, and you're going to lead it. And, you know, you just have to know we have your back. And I think it's just taken time. But, you know, luckily all the hard work is starting to pay off. And I think, you know, we're not done. We don't want to peak now. We want to peak in October. And I think we're heading in the right direction.
And listen, that's a big deal, because it has been tumultuous. You've gone through yourself so many different coaches with differing ideas. It must be nice to maybe get a sense of stability, the game model, teammates, all of that.
Yeah, I think him and Angela have done a really, really good job of, you know, forming a blueprint, not just for this year, but for years to come. And, you know, whether that's getting players now or scouting players for the future, I think whatever they're doing behind the scenes is working. And we just have to trust in their vision of the club and know that we're all going to be a part of it, and it'll be a championship culture one day.
Yeah, and Edgar was telling me, Edgar, who's PR extraordinaire, was telling me, I think it's like 14 new players. That's a lot.
It sure is.
A lot of turnover.
Yeah, it's great, though. They're all amazing players and great additions to the squad.
That three-week period you're talking about, was there a better grasp coming out of that of sort of the tactical ideas and what the coach was trying to put across?
Yeah, I think in the first half we tried certain tactics. Even in the preseason we tried, you know, certain formations, certain roster moves, and it worked, and sometimes it didn't work, and then we switched and it would work and it didn't work again. And so I think in the summer we, again, tried something new and just had a better understanding of what Fabrice wanted. And I think it just took all of us getting on the same page. You know, maybe he was trying to communicate something and we weren't understanding it, or vice versa. And I just think it took time for us to really understand what we both wanted out of each other from the staff and the players. And I think in the summer, like you said, we got a really good understanding of what we want to do. And now we kind of know if it doesn't look right in a game, now we know how to fix it quite quickly. And it's all just kind of coming together in a good way.
And by the way, Jane mentioned Angela Huklis, who was a U.S. international. She's now heading up. She's the president of the Dash on that side of it. So has had a lot of influence on a lot of these moves, obviously. Some of the new players that come in, Any that we can talk about from a standpoint of energy or personality that you sense gives a lift? I'm not like we're trying to single anybody out, but you know, there is a freshness to new players. And, I mean, in my opinion, I think every year you need some fresh new signings to keep a locker room moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I'll give a shout-out to Clarissa, who just scored her first Houston Dash goal. And, you know, she's been here a few weeks now and, you know, has had quite a resume abroad and with Canada. So having her come in, she's quite fast. So having her come in and really make an impact in her first start was huge for her, I'm sure. And we're all so proud of her. And I think she'll be a big player for us moving forward.
And she got the game winner in the 17th minute. By the way, I posted the video of that goal. That's the Houston Dash copying a tiki-taka of Barcelona, because it's a bunch of beautiful passes in really, really tight areas. It better be the goal of the week, or we're going to be very upset, because the quality of the build-up, too, to that goal was something very, very, very exceptional. But I want to take you back, Jane Campbell. Early in this game, I believe it was off a corner, you made a huge early save, which, you know, these are the moments you have to come up with. That goes in. Who knows what the night's like, right? I mean,
yeah, right? Definitely. It definitely was. We knew going into San Diego, it's always been a tough game against them for years. They're quite hard to play against. And, you know, unfortunately on corners, we're actually quite good defending corners, and they got a really good chance. And, you know, defenders made it easier for me, and, you know, good save will get us some momentum, hopefully.
It was no defenders helping. You were the only one I saw fly through the air and palm it away, by the way. So let's give you kudos for that. And, by the way, you had 5 saves on the night, some big ones. And, you know, I look at the timeliness of the goal, 17th for Larisi, 45th for Yasmin Ryan, and Messiah Bright in the 77th. It's almost like you timed these out perfectly to kind of take the pressure off you in the games. There were times this year where you weren't scoring goals, so to go on the road and get goals and play with a lead, that's got to be a wonderful feeling as well.
Yeah, I think the defense all year has been quite frustrated with ourselves that we're not really getting shutouts. And in this league, you know, if you win a game 1-0, it's actually quite rare. It's rare to have a shutout. It's rare to win a game 1-0 or by one goal. And you know, we always say if you can score 2, you've almost got it in the bag. If you can score 3, you've pretty much sealed the deal. And, you know, for us, I've always said that if we can keep a shutout at 75, then it gives the offense a lot more confidence to go win the game, and we'll win it in the 90th minute. And, you know, I'm so proud of the defense this game getting a shutout. But it's also, you know, kudos to the offense for really putting the game away, because we needed that. We haven't really had a game like that in a long time this year. And it's a really confident win. You know, people can say it was an ugly game or we didn't possess the ball, but at the end of the day, we scored 3 and had a shutout, and we'll take that any day.
We'll take that road win, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about strikers in the NWSL. So I watch a lot of NWSL when I can. Tendencies of opponents. Are you studying them? Like, let's talk about a couple of the big strikers. Temma Chawinga, Kansas City. Esther Gonzalez, Gotham FC. Ludmila Da Silva of Chicago. Barbara Banda of Orlando City. These are all stars. They're all goal scorers. They're all very different in their own ways. How much studying do you do of an opponent's striker before a game, or is that, am I barking up the wrong tree here?
I personally love a lot of film prep and a lot of scouting prep. Those 4 players you just mentioned are all so different in their own way. They've got so different patterns and different tendencies. Esther, we just faced her, and she's a bit of a poacher, kind of just finds the ball 6 to 8 yards away and pokes it in, and she's one of the best in the world at that at the moment. Ludmila, we'll face her in a couple weeks when we play Chicago, and she's just rapid as can be, and we'll kind of create something out of nothing. Same with Temwa. So, you know, those players are all just hunting for the goal, and I think as best as I can prepare for them. A lot of times you can prepare all you want and they'll just create some sort of magic. So definitely throughout the week we'll prep every day, and match day -1 we'll kind of just focus on ourselves.
So overall, the NWSL, I mean, great crowd in San Diego. I mean, obviously that's something we're working on here in Houston, but I mean, these are exciting times for the entire league. You know, a lot of the big crowds are out west. We've got to change that. But just your overall perception of the league now, having been in it for a long time now, you're an experienced veteran. What's mostly changed for you?
Oh, gosh. I would just say the attention to the league has definitely grown. You know, years ago, people wouldn't really know who we are and wouldn't know that we even had a league or that we even had a team in Houston. And I think the last couple of years, at least in our city, people have started to really kind of invest in us and just be fans. That's all we're asking for is for people to watch the games, whether it's online or come on out and come to Shell Energy. But I definitely think attendance is skyrocketing for the league in general. You know, like you just said, I think we had 20,000 in San Diego, and you know, these other teams are starting to play at baseball stadiums to get more fans and, you know, appeal to different crowds. And I think that's only going to help our league in general. And it's great that the WNBA is growing because all those fans watch us too. And it's just all of us kind of working together, all these leagues working together. And I definitely think the notoriety through the league is what matters, because the more people watch, the more we'll get what we need.
Yeah, what do we learn from that Caitlin Clark effect?
Exactly.
I mean, it's pretty amazing because,
yeah,
let me tell you, it got me watching it.
Yep.
And I am attracted to the way she plays the game. It's up-tempo, chest passes, length of the court, behind the back. I mean, it's entertainment, too.
Yep.
What kind of connection can we form with that?
Yeah, I mean, she's a once-in-a-lifetime player.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Hopefully,
well, you are, too.
Hopefully we'll have someone come in our league and create some sort of wave like she did,
yeah,
with the W. But there's so many big names in our league, and they're all making names for themselves. Trinity Rodman is,
yeah,
crushing it in D.C. And, you know, a player like her will create so much flair in our sport, no matter who she plays for. And so Alyssa Thompson's transfer to Chelsea created so much buzz. And even though we lost her in this league, you know, just people talking about her and what she did for L.A., or it's only going to help us. So the more buzz we can get, the better. And the more people talk about the league, the better for us.
Great. People can catch all the games. They're available on a lot of different platforms. What's your feelings about, you know, we're seeing Europe now. We're seeing some high transfer fees. We're seeing some big money over there. There's big brands over there that are behind it. When you look at what's going on in Europe, let's just say from a playing standpoint, obviously everybody says top to bottom, this is the best league in the world, the NWSL. What do you see over in Europe, and what's appealing to you over there?
Gosh, there's obviously so much talent in Europe from every country over there.
I mean, and the Euros, incredible attention.
Of course.
Incredible.
And, you know, their game and leagues are growing astronomically as well, and they're getting so much more attention. And the big difference for me is their brand is the same as the men. You know, if you're an Arsenal player, you're an Arsenal women's player, an Arsenal men's player. And here it's a little bit different. You know, fortunately we're tied with the Dynamo, so we're under one roof, but most of our league isn't like that, which is, it is what it is. But I think for me, you know, the big argument I hear is over there there's no salary cap, over here we have a salary cap. And, you know, the big question is, how do you get the best players in the world? Is it more money? Is it a better league? Is it better soccer playing? Is it a style play, a coach, you know, you name it. There's so many other factors, and I think any direction you go in, you know, it's what you make of it. And you know, playing in England or playing over there in Europe and Spain or France, I mean, I'm sure it's just an incredible atmosphere and experience. So kudos for everybody who goes over there, and I love my time in Houston, and I'm here four more, so I'm happy to be here.
All right, so I'm going to have to ask you the obvious question, so I'm not starting any rumors here, so I'm going to let everybody know that ahead of time. But you've been in Houston a long time, and obviously you signed an extension. You love it here. You've been an incredible servant to this club. You've been through the ups and downs and everything. Is there a part of you that one day would want to play in Europe, in a bigger soccer? Like, I'm flipping the channels the other day, and I'm watching the Italian Women's League with Juventus, and I'm like, you know, I'm seeing the Italian soccer culture in these women playing the game. Every one of them's technical. They're organized. I would think it could be appealing, and I'm not trying to create any problems here, Angela. But, you know, people have desires in their careers.
Yeah, I've had a couple opportunities throughout the years to go, and, you know, I didn't think it was right at the time. I would never say never. You know, I would never say no. Full stop and concrete, but I know in my heart I'm a loyal dog, and I've committed to Houston for four, and as long as they want me, at least for the next four, I'm going to be here. The World Cup is in two.
Love
so
I love loyalty because that's a lost art these days.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
As far as I can see at times, it's a little bit of a lost art.
It's quite unique in our league to be with one club for your whole career. Only so many players have done it. And, you know, I'm knock on wood, my body will hold up and I'll be able to play for many, many
years. How is your body after throwing yourself around all these years?
Great. Love it. Yeah.
No injury issues?
Knock on wood. Yeah. I'm feeling great. But World Cup's in 2 years for us. And I'm trying to get on Coach Emma's good graces. And, you know, if she thinks I'm good enough for that team, then that's my goal for the foreseeable future. But, you know, if 4 years comes and goes and something in Europe opens, I would never be opposed to going. It just has to be the right fit. But I'm always a big fan of everybody playing over there. Now that their games are much more accessible to us, it's amazing to watch. And I'm so glad that they're getting the attention and notoriety they deserve as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see the crossover and people coming in different directions. Makes it interesting. All right, hold that thought with the World Cup. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Really, really interesting interview here with Jane Campbell. We're having a lot of fun. And we'll take a quick break here. We're at Senate Avenue Brewing. It's off 290, the Senate Avenue exit. Come on in here, see Jane. You can get an autograph. She's certainly very approachable. There's people here who are going to want to meet her when we're done with this interview. Again, Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. It's award-winning beer. It's amazing food. And we got more soccer talk with Jane Campbell coming up when we come back. All the music tonight, my great friend Quinn down at Cactus Music. It is legendary. It's an iconic store. If you're into vinyl and CDs, that's the place to go. It is Cactus Music. Right there near 59 and Shepherd. All right, we'll take a break from Senate Avenue Brewing. I'm Glenn Davis. We're back in a moment with Jane Campbell.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
That band is The Beloved. And speaking of, we mentioned Cactus Music and vinyl. You can probably get it down there. It's a great song, an old song, but... yeah, kind of synthesizer, good beat to that. All right, welcome back, everybody. Quick shout-out here, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. It's where the Liverpool Supporters Group is. Hugh O'Connor's Pub is another one of the great soccer-watching pubs in Houston. So get out there. They got all the traditional English food, the bangers and mash. Right here at Senate Avenue Brewing, they've got a lot of healthy options here. Great burgers. Food is exceptional. When you come in, you'll look to the left and you'll see the actual vats where they make the beer, which is really cool because this is not mass-produced. This is done right here in-house. Doesn't go out all over town. The only place you're going to get this great beer is right here. All right, Jane Campbell, we welcome her back. We're having a lot of fun here. Dash on a great run. Six in a row right now, only 3 points out of a playoff spot. Next match at Utah. Okay, we left in the last segment, Jane, talking about the national team, and as I'm thinking of this interview today, I'm thinking all about that with you. What an amazing opportunity could potentially be to go to the Women's World Cup in 2027.
Yeah, it would be a tremendous honor. It's been a goal of mine. I've never made a major roster in my career with them, so you know, it's always an honor just to be in the conversation. And you know, hopefully the next 2 years I'll do something great and Coach Emma gives me a call up. But we'll see. Time will tell. And at the end of the day, what's meant to be will be. So I have full faith in her and what she's going to do with the squad. So I'll be cheering them on, or hopefully I'll be there.
2027, by the way, it's in Brazil. Talk about going to one of the great cradles of civilization of soccer, right? Couldn't be in a better place. I think it's pretty cool that it's going to South America and Brazil.
Yeah, it'll be great, and it'll almost hopefully be a rematch of, you know, the gold medal game in France. So I'm sure they're gunning for us, and we'll always be gunning for them.
So performance, game in and game out. I mean, Emma Hayes, I think, was an exceptional choice. really kind of steered the national team back to a winning culture, back to prioritizing football, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I like the way she carries herself. To me, when I listen to her talk, she's 100% football.
She is, and she's very real, 100% real. She'll always shoot it straight with you, which I think every player appreciates. You know, we don't want anyone to beat around the bush with us, and, you know, we just want a straight shooter, and I think she's done just that. I think my time with her at the Olympics, at least for me, being an alternate, I was really able to see how she treats everybody, and, you know, even though I wasn't on roster, she made me and all the other alternates feel as though we were the biggest player on the team, and I'll always be so appreciative of that, because it really felt like we all won that gold medal. And you know, from then on out, she's treated every player who she calls into camp, whether it's your very first camp or maybe it's your 100th camp, that you're all the same and everybody's working for a spot. You know, nothing's really guaranteed and everybody's got to work, and she's made it very clear that she's going to extend the pool and see who all she can see in this short period of time to get the right roster.
Houston Dash, Jane Campbell, goalkeeper's out here, comes off an exceptional match against San Diego, had a couple of key saves. I think you got a little fan over there that you're going to ultimately meet. I'm going to make a prediction. That's ultimately what players want, though. They want the truth, right?
Yep.
I mean, maybe it's not the news you want to hear. This is part of life and being a professional athlete, but you just want the truth, right? Because then you know where to go.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, everyone always says it might not be what you want to hear, but at least we know what it is, and then you go from there.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple concept to me, but, you know, I remember my first year playing in the pros, the coach would always say to the newspaper, well, it'll be either Davis or so-and-so. Well, it was always me, and then finally I went into his office one day. I said, hey, when are you going to finally believe in me? And it's me, you know, publicly. So
good,
you know,
for you.
Yeah. He took it well. He took it pretty well, I think. All right. So Utah, tell us a little bit about them, their playing style, what you have to be concerned on going on the road for that one.
Utah will be a tough game. They've had a tough year, and you know, I'm not trying to call a spade. We definitely didn't start the year off great either, and I think going to a team like that is always hard. You know, you don't want to underestimate them, and you definitely don't want to go in there like it's just going to be a cakewalk, because it's not. They've got a very talented team, and we'll be in their home stadium, so it's always going to be hard playing in Utah with the altitude and just a different environment. So we're hopefully going to go in there and really play our game and hopefully steal 3 points from them.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting to me is, you know, they may be playing for contracts, much like the LA Galaxy who came in against the Dynamo. These guys are playing for contracts, their futures, potentially going to let them go. I mean, there's all kinds of other motivations, I guess.
Of course, yeah.
For teams that haven't done well. Your parents were both athletes. Tell me a little bit about them, because I'm sure the gene pool worked nicely.
Yeah, parents were both athletes. My mom played basketball, so I played basketball growing up. And she also rode crew, and then my dad was a hockey nut. He played hockey through college.
Wow.
Yep, he's a Boston boy, so hockey was his thing. And I'm not sure where I got my athletic genes from, but I'll credit my mom, give her some credit.
Yeah. Is your mom tall?
She'll probably say that she's shrinking, but she's about like 5'7", so
well,
dad's 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3", there you go. So that's where you kind of got your height. Your first impression of soccer and how you got into it, and, you know, when it became important in your life, at what age?
Yeah, I've got an older brother. His name's Jack. He's 3 years older, so he's my hero to this day. I love him dearly, but I kind of just did whatever he did. And he's not an athlete in a sense of sports and coordination. He is a military guy, so everyone's military but me. So I kind of just did what he did. So we did tennis, baseball. He did football. I didn't. Basketball. And then he did soccer, so I did soccer. And I kind of just was good at it. He quit soccer after, you know, a couple years, but he stuck with baseball and tennis because of his height. And I just kind of stuck with soccer, and basketball and tennis were my big three sports up until college, and then I played soccer in college mainly. But I don't know, I kind of was just good at it. And my parents were like, this is cool, I guess, you know. And
yeah,
I got called into my first youth national team camp at 14, and they were like, what does this mean? You know, is this even a big deal? And
yeah,
all of my club coaches were like, yeah, you know, you got to send her off to camp and let her go. And I think at that point, at 14, I knew I was probably a little bit better than average. You know, I thought, oh, this could be something. And then
had a natural affinity for
the game. And then college offers started to come through the door, and I was like, whoa, you know, this is, I guess this is a lot bigger than I thought it would ever be. You know, I think my love for sport is probably in basketball, to be honest. If I could have another life or, you know, live another person's dream, I maybe would have chose basketball. But I spent so much time in soccer that I just kind of got good at it. And I ended up getting an offer to go to Stanford, and my parents were like, you can't pass that up. So I went and had a pretty good collegiate career. And then I think, you know, after my freshman and sophomore year, I thought, you know, I guess I'll go pro. But I said that not knowing anything about the world I would enter. You know, I was kind of just saying it because that's what every athlete said was, oh, I'm going to go pro. And, you know, then national team call-up started to come and, you know, getting chances to train with World Cup rosters and Olympic rosters. And I was like, wow, I guess I could do this, you know. And then senior year rolled around, and at that point we had the draft and entered the draft and was drafted here. And I've kind of just never looked back. It kind of just all fell into place, but I don't think it was really planned by anyone in my family.
It
definitely wasn't. It wasn't something I think we all ever saw come into fruition. So I'm very honored to be here to this day.
It's a wonderful story, and it just goes to show you that passion for sport, you know, can take you some amazing places. And you are pretty good, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, you said, well, maybe I'm pretty good, but you are. You have a nice level of humility, I think, which is a very nice quality to have. But on the field, we can tell that you're very serious, very serious operator. You know, your backs, and over the years, you've really dealt with a lot of different people coming in and out of there. You seem like you've formed a lot of stability. Alyssa Chapman has come back and has been performing really well.
Yeah, she's crushing it. And you know, coming back from pregnancy, I don't know how the moms do it in the league or in general in sport, for that matter. I think it's quite an incredible feat. So shout out to all the moms on the team for coming back, because they're all healthy and really crushing it. But, you know, Chappie had a few unfortunate injuries earlier in the year that kind of just put her back. And then she had her time to shine, and we all knew Chappie was going to be her normal self and just scrap her way to the top, and she sure has. And she's been a huge, huge player defensively for us these last few games. And I'm so happy to play with her, and I've played with her for years and years. So we have a great chemistry.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful player, gold medalist as well. And then you had coming off the bench, Sophie Schmidt, who decided to be like this late-game hero to get this six-game unbeaten run off and running.
Yeah, Soph is always going to be a player who is going to make an impact, whether she starts and plays 90 minutes or she gets 5 minutes at the end of the game. And, you know, talk about a resume in women's soccer. She's got one of the best in the world, and really honored to be a teammate of hers for so many years as well. And I know I can always close my eyes, and if Soph is somewhere around, I'll just give her the ball and she'll do something with it that's helpful for the team. So I'm really honored to be playing with her again, and glad she's in Houston.
She's a great interview as well.
She is.
I've interviewed her on TV as well. She's a great interview. She's a lot of fun. We're talking to Jane Campbell, Houston Dash goalkeeper. Again, it's 6 in a row, undefeated, 7 games to go, 21 available points, 9th place, 3 points out of a playoff spot, on the road at Utah this weekend. World Cup's coming to Houston, 2026.
It sure is. It's incredible.
Yeah, so when you think about that and the Women's World Cup and the context of that, 7 games in our city, now that we're going to call you officially a Houstonian. You're like me. We're relocated,
yep.
But we did it for the same reason, professional soccer, although it's a little bit more in the infrastructure these days,
right,
in your league. And then maybe mine. We didn't play in a nice stadium like that. But just your thoughts on, you know, us being a World Cup city and the incredible soccer market this is.
I think it's amazing. I think, you know, the men having the opportunity to grow their fan base here, and it's not just for the Dynamo. I think it's just for the whole world to see Houston. And the city's so diverse and it's in its own way anyways. And I think bringing more cultures and more people around here will only help the city grow. And selfishly, as a Dash player, I hope it'll bring more attention to the Dash and bring more fans to see us play. And, you know, I think being able to show the city not just that it's a hot city and it's scorching hot in the summer. I think people will see so much more than that, and I'm really excited to see how the city grows. There's going to be so many more events like this, and just more soccer culture in America, and I think that that will only help our sport grow in general.
Yeah, so many, food, music, we can go on and on, history, the city's got it all. No question about it. And it does have good heat, too. There's no question about that. All right, I'm going to ask you this one because, you know, you just came from playing in front of 20,000 people. There are big crowds out there, and you're going to have to answer this quick because I'm being told by my producer, Brian McDonald, we got 1 minute. So how do we get more people down to the Dash games?
I think it's just, it's got to be word of mouth, and people got to be able to go and realize you're going to probably sweat a little bit at a 7 p.m. game. And you know, I've always said that I just want the beer drinkers and the people who want a party to come out. And bring your friends, bring family, bring your business people, anyone, just to have a good time. I think we want it to be a party atmosphere. Everybody have a great time and cheer us on and enjoy some soccer. And I think we're going to put on a good show and hopefully you come back.
By the way, I heard beer and soccer goes pretty good together. That's what I heard. Jane, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure that you came all the way up here to do this. Means a lot to not only the show, but everybody here at Senate Avenue Brewing. And I'm sure there's some people who are going to want to meet you and get your autograph. So let's not wait so long next time. And
yes,
I'll stay on that guy over there, Edgar, and make sure what we get you on again. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you so much.
All right. She's Jane Campbell. None better than that. Let's give her a big round of applause out here. We're making it all the way out here to Jersey Village. And by the way, if you're out and about on the town, get out here. Jersey Village and Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. We're going to keep the women's soccer theme going. U of H head coach Ben Williams is up next. We'll take a break from Senate Avenue Brewing.
ESPN 97.5.